As we continue our journey through Paul's letter to the Galatians, today we're looking at Galatians 1, 11 through 24. In this text, Paul isn't just giving his history. Frankly, he doesn't have to give his history. They all know who he was and what he was. What he's giving is the personal testimony of a man who was radically transformed by the grace of God. Paul understands more than most what it means to be called by grace. Today we're focusing on Paul's apostolic authority and his remarkable transformation through the power of God's grace. Paul's testimony speaks to us today about the transforming power of grace and the importance of personal testimony in sharing the gospel. Now, last week we began this series by looking at the urgency with which Paul wrote to the Galatians, warning them against turning to a different gospel, a gospel that was no gospel at all. Paul was passionate about preserving the truth of the gospel, knowing that any distortion of this truth could lead people away from the freedom Christ has won for them. We discussed how the law served as a guide until Christ came, and how even now the law remains valuable for understanding how to live a life that honors God. But as Paul makes it clear, it is by grace through faith that we are saved, not by adherence to the law. Paul's own life serves as a testament to the very grace he preached. His story is one of dramatic transformation, a change so huge that it could only be attributed to the work of God. As we look at his story, we'll see that the power of grace that transformed Paul is the same power available to us and at work in our lives today. So listen as I read, or read along with me, in Galatians 1, verses 11 through 24. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb, called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. My immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And Paul begins this section of his letter by telling them that what he preached didn't come from him. He wasn't telling them his opinion or thoughts. What he preached to them came from Jesus Christ himself. He wants the Galatians to understand that the message he preached, it wasn't something he learned in a classroom or from other apostles. It was directly revealed to him by Jesus Christ. This was crucial for Paul to emphasize because his authority as an apostle was being questioned by those who were trying to lead the Galatians astray. They suggested that Paul's message was somehow incomplete or that it needed to be supplemented by adherence to Mosaic law. But Paul stands firm, asserting that the gospel he preaches is the true gospel because it comes directly from Christ. Now, I found myself wondering this week why the Judaizers were so bent on forcing Gentiles into following the law. One thing I found said that forcing Gentiles into following the law, specifically the law of circumcision, was a way for Gentiles and Jewish believers alike to prove their loyalty. But a quote from John Calvin makes more sense to me. He said that people dread the message of the cross because the cross removes distinctions within the people of God. And the dread of the cross leads people to corrupt the true preaching of the cross, meaning that they try to put blocks between people they don't feel are worthy because it negates their self-appointed superiority. So in other words, the cross puts us on even ground. There are no Gentiles, there are no Jews in God's eyes because of the cross. But many people want a distinction between believers, not just from believers and the outside world. They want distinctions among believers. They want to say, Jesus didn't die for you. They want to say and try to make people believe, if you don't do all of these things, and yeah, faith may be one of them, but there's a whole bunch more rules that they put along with faith. And they want to make people believe that if they don't follow all of these rules, they're not worthy of God. And loved ones, that's not what the cross tells us. That's not what Jesus tells us. And if the Holy Spirit is telling you that, you're listening to the wrong spirit. In Paul's words, we see the foundation of Paul's authority. His apostolic calling was not from man, but from God. This divine calling is what sets Paul apart and gives him the authority to speak the way he does. He's not just defending his credentials. He's trying to make them understand that he heard the gospel from Jesus Christ himself, and it's about preserving the purity of the gospel. Paul knows that the gospel is the power of God for salvation, and he will not allow it to be diluted or distorted. But Paul doesn't just defend his authority here. He also shares his personal testimony. He reminds the Galatians of his past. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism and how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. Paul hadn't just been indifferent to belief in Christ. He was actively opposed to it. He was a zealot for Judaism, advancing in his career as a persecutor faster than most others his age because of his strict adherence to the traditions of his ancestors. Paul was on a mission to destroy the church, and frankly, he was very good at it. But despite the way Paul had been living his life, God had other plans for Paul. Paul continues, "But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles." This is the turning point in Paul's life. God, in his infinite grace, intervened, turned Paul's life upside down 180 degrees, and called Paul to a new mission, a mission that was unfathomable to Paul, or would have been a couple of days before. Instead of persecuting the church, Paul was called to build it up. Instead of opposing Christ, Paul was called to preach Christ. This is the power of grace at work, y'all. Paul's transformation wasn't something he started, or frankly, it wasn't even something he sought after. It was God's doing from start to finish. Paul acknowledges that God had set him apart from birth, but it was by God's grace that he was called and given a new purpose. The only thing Paul did was accept grace through faith. Y'all, this is Wesleyan theology. Our theology teaches that God's grace is at work in our lives before we are even aware of it. This is what we call prevenient grace. It's the grace that draws us to God, that begins to soften our hearts and open our eyes to the truth of the gospel. And when we respond to this grace, we experience what Wesley called justifying grace, the grace that forgives our sins and reconciles us to God. For Paul, this moment of justifying grace came when Christ was revealed to him. This revelation wasn't just a change in his mind, in his understanding. It was a completely life-changing encounter with the risen Lord. And this encounter set Paul on a new path, one that would lead him to become one of the greatest apostles and missionaries the world has ever known. Notice what Paul says next. My immediate response was not to consult any human beings. I did not go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Now, this verse is what leads some to think that the years he spent away were spent with Jesus, learning what Paul needed to know. Paul emphasizes that his independence from the Jerusalem apostles to show that his calling and his message were directly from God. He didn't need to get approval from the other apostles because his commission came from Christ himself. This is important for the Galatians to understand because it underscores the divine origin and authority of Paul's gospel. Frankly, it's important for us as modern-day believers to understand because there are those who have twisted who Paul was. I said last week, I never would have thought 10 years ago that I would come to think as highly of Paul as I do because I had a wrong impression of him, mainly because I only listened to what people said about him instead of actually reading what he wrote, and reading what he wrote with an open heart. And Paul's time in Arabia is not detailed in Scripture, but it's likely, whether he was with the physical Jesus or not, it's likely that this was a time of reflection, prayer, and preparation for the ministry that lay ahead. It was a time for Paul to deepen his relationship with Christ and to allow himself to be shaped and molded by the Holy Spirit for the work he was called to do. In Wesleyan terms, we might see this as a time of sanctifying grace, a time when Paul was being made holy and being set apart for God's purposes. After his time in Arabia, Paul returned to Damascus, and then after 3 years, he went up to Jerusalem. But even then, his interactions with the other apostles was limited. Paul is careful to point out that his visit was brief and he only met with Peter and James. Again, this emphasizes his independence and the fact that his gospel didn't come from the other apostles. Paul's testimony is a powerful example of the transforming power of God's grace. It's a reminder that no one is beyond the reach of God's grace, no matter how far they may have strayed. Paul's story shows the importance of personal testimony in sharing the gospel. Paul's authority as an apostle is rooted in his personal encounter with Christ and the transformation that followed. His testimony was not just about what he believed. It was about what he had experienced firsthand. And this is something we can all learn from. Each of us has a testimony, a story of how God's grace has been at work in our lives. It may not be as dramatic as Paul's, but it's just as important. Our personal testimonies are powerful tools for sharing the gospel because they make the message of grace real. They show how the gospel has made a difference in our lives, and they can inspire others to seek that same transformation. In our tradition, Wesleyan tradition, there's a strong emphasis on the importance of sharing our personal experiences of God's grace. John Wesley often spoke about the need for what he called experiential religion, a faith that is not just intellectual, but deeply felt and experienced. Wesley believed that personal testimony was a crucial part of evangelism because it demonstrated the reality of God's grace at work in the world. So as we think about Paul's testimony today, let's also reflect on our own stories. How has God's grace been at work in your life? How has the gospel transformed you? And how can you share that story with others? Our testimony doesn't have to be some long, elaborate thing. When I was a deaconess, we had to have ready, pretty much at all times, our elevator testimony. It was our witness condensed to the point that we could share it on an elevator ride. Our initial testimony doesn't have to be long because if people want to hear more, they're going to ask. I'm going to leave you with a challenge today. Think about someone in your life who needs to hear about God's grace, about God's love. It might be a friend. It might be a family member. It might be a coworker. It might be a complete stranger. Take some time this week to share your testimony with them. You don't have to have all the answers or be a Bible scholar. Just share what God has done in your life. Share how His grace has transformed you and trust that God will use your story to touch their heart. Paul came to understand that God knew from birth what His plan for Paul was. There's probably few people in this world that had strayed as far from and strayed. He had not entered into any part of God's grace and God's love. There is no one who is unworthy to God. There is no one that God won't accept when they come to Him in faith. There is no one that God doesn't love and want in His kingdom. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of grace, the grace that called Paul out of darkness and into Your light. We thank You for the way Your grace is at work in our lives, transforming us, shaping us, and drawing us closer to You. Lord, help us to be bold in sharing our testimonies, knowing that our stories of grace can bring hope and encouragement to others. Empower us by Your Spirit to be witnesses to Your transforming power. May our lives be a reflection of Your grace, and may we always be ready to share the reason for the hope that is within us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.